Kriya Samagila is a mitzvah that almost bridges the world of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapeh. On one hand, it's part of the Torah Shebichtav in the sense that it's recorded in the Megillah in Ketzer Kodesh and Tanakh. On the other hand, it's Torah Shebapeh because it's not really a Dimon HaTorah. It was instituted by the Chachamim. It was somewhere in between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapeh. So it's appropriate that the Shia today was supposed to be Torah Shebichtav because I did prepare the Maamar Kavos and they were sent and they got somewhere got lost in, along the way. So it became pure Torah Shebapeh. But as the Shia develops, we'll try to show you a little bit how those worlds of Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebapeh, the Raisas, the Rabbanans merged together in discussing the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah in a very, very real halachic sense. So instead of focusing on a particular shaila related to Purim, we learn a sugya together, a sugya we've spoken different nuances, different parts of the sugya, different times. It's a critical sugya, not just in terms of the details of the Purim, but it really touches on some very yisodistic rules that relate to other areas of halacha, particular sugyas related to Maseches Brachos. A lot of people are still in the Brachos mode. Because the end of the Yom is winding down, Maseches Brachos, hard to believe, we're almost making the first seven of Masechta. But we'll try to talk about the sugya of Kriyas HaMegillah as it relates to some of these rules. There is a basic principle in halacha that appears already in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf, it appears in the Daf Chaf Tesh and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that whenever one person wants to be motzi somebody else in the mitzvah, so the klal gadol is that the motzi has to be what we call mechuyev v'davar. He or she has to be obligated in that mitzvah. And when we say obligated in that mitzvah, they have to be obligated either to the same extent, to the same degree that the person who's being yotzei is, or to a higher degree. Okay, for example, there's a particular mitzvah that I'm obligated in that Torah, and you're obligated in the Rabbanon, I can be motzi you, but you can't be motzi me. So even though you're chayav and I'm chayav, technically speaking, but our level of chiyav is different, so the higher level of chiyav can be motzi the lower level, or equal levels of chiyav can be motzi each other. But for someone who is potter or a low level chiyuv cannot be motzi someone who has a high level of chiyuv. This is like chayt v'layava. This is a mishnah in the end of Maseches, the end of the Perek Maseches Rosh Hashanah. These are sugya shleimot in a few places in Shas. The mishnah that's alluded to Maseches Sukkah. This klal is a chayt v'layava. The posh pshat is this is a din in HaTorah. The Balamor has a line that he entertains the possibility maybe this is somehow a din midrabban. It's hard to understand that. But the Ramban rejects that outright, and it's usually assumed that a poshut that this is a real bona fide Dimon HaTorah, and this permeates all mitzvahs. In that light, we now have to enter into the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, because when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, very often we do invoke that idea of one person reading the Megillah on behalf of somebody else, we're motzi somebody with Kriyas HaMegillah. So if that's the case, then the person who is the Kriyas HaMegillah has to be obligated in the mitzvah, and has to be obligated to at least the same degree, or perhaps even to a higher degree. And this is what sets the stage for a very, very lomdish sugya. Unfortunately, recently it's become a very controversial sugya. We are not going to discuss it from the political, the agenda, and other overtones and undertones of the sugya. We're going to discuss it just purely from the halachic angle, and that is the issue of a woman being both a man in Kriyas HaMegillah. Is that something that's feasible from a pure halachic vantage point? There are many, many reasons, both halachic and hashkafic, why it's out of bounds. Again, we're not going to talk about that right now. But just in the pure world of halacha, would that be something that's acceptable? So the simple reading of the Gemara in Maseches Megillah on the Dalam and Aleph would seem to point in the direction of yes. Because the Gemara tells us that Noshim Chayavos, the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Gemara says explicitly, women are obligated in the Kriyas HaMegillah. And therefore, if you put two and two together, if women are obligating Kriyas HaMegillah, then they can be motzi men. Whoever is obligating the mitzvah to be motzi somebody else. It's not such a far cry to say that, because the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, in the second parak, has a very similar discussion concerning Neiros Chanukah. And the other Gemara also discusses the possibility of a woman lighting on behalf of a man, and the other Gemara says it does work. The other Gemara says explicitly that if a husband's out of town, and his wife is lighting the menorah in the house, so that's called Madlikin Labasov Beit. So, and that's okay. So even though the din is that you have to have somebody who's obligated in the mitzvah of halacha menorah to light, clearly a woman can light on behalf of a man. So we just connect the dots to the sugya. If a woman can light on behalf of a man because she's chayavet, and we know that a woman is chayavet in Kriyas HaMegillah, so it should follow that a woman would be able to be motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah. Nevertheless, there are a whole series of different reasons why Gedolei HaPoskim have very, very strong hesitations about this. Again, from pure halachic reasons. So the question is why, based on some of the things that we alluded to before, why should this possibly be a hesitation? The one major objection to this idea of a woman being motzi a man touches on what exactly is the degree of obligation that a woman has in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Daf Daled raises the question, why are women obligating Kriyas Megillah. If the rule is the mitzvah feishas bagram, it's a time-bound mitzvah. Well, normally the rule is a time-bound positive mitzvah women are exempt from. But why are women chayavah? The Gemara says the reason is because af hein hayav yosu anei, since women were included in the miracle of Purim, so therefore when Chazal instituted the mitzvah Kriyas Megillah, they instituted a chiyah for women as well. Again, this is not the first time we have this concept. The Gemara actually has this in two other places. The Gemara discusses this in terms of Neres Chanukah, the same exact reason. That's why women are chayavos. And the Gemara also in Sachem speaks about it concerning dalikosis. How do you know that women have to drink four kosis at the Seder? The Gemara says the same pismon, the same story. So at least in Shas itself, these are the only three places where this rule appears. Kriyas Megillah, Neres Chanukah, and dalikosis. The Rishonim start fiddling around trying to figure out maybe it has other applications. But in Chazal itself, these are the only three places. Oh, so that's Tosfos Rashi. Tosfos Masechet Brachos raises that question. Actually, brings a rise from these Gemaras. Tosfos says, you see from Chazal, from the fact that Chazal had to bend over backwards to find the reason why women are obligated in these mitzvahs, even though these are only the Rabbanon, you see clearly that Chazal worked with the mindset that called the Tikkun Rabbanon gained their right. And when Chazal instituted mitzvahs to Rabbanon, they did it the pattern that they have to deraisas, and therefore it's Mangramba, which is the poter on mitzvahs deraisas, the poter mitzvahs to Rabbanon as well. Oh, so that's exactly what we're going to get. That's going to be the first objection that we're going to raise. That's the first issue we're about to raise. So again, so we know clearly that it appears in three places, but there is a very, very strong question that Tosfos presents, both in Masechet Megillah, then they revamp the question again in Shabbos, and Nachum Bolim Sochem. Every time the student comes up, Tosfos asks the same question, but in Megillah they give a little bit more of a beer than they do in other places. Tosfos raises the question that there is a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim that discusses a woman's obligation in Achilas Matzah. The Gemara says explicitly that women are obligated in HaTorah to eat Matzah. How do you know that? Well, the reason that the Gemara gives is a startling reason, because the reason that we would have expected doesn't appear. What the reason that does not appear in the Gemara is Afein Abiyos Venei. The Gemara searches for other reasons, the Gemara finds another reason, it's actually a pasuk. The Torah links the Isra of Achilas Chometz to the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So the Torah Rabbah explains to us that whoever is not allowed to eat Chometz is obligated to eat Matzah. The Torah just raises an objection, why do we need a pasuk for? Why do we need a Gzeser Kosel for? Why can't we figure it out based on the strict logic of Afein Abiyos Venei? Women left the triumph. We know that. That's why they're chayavos in dalakosos. So why can't we use that same svara of being chayavos in dalakosos after to obligate them in matzah? Why the need for a pasuk? The Tosfos gives two answers to this question in Masechet Megillah and Daf. The one answer that he says is that the principle afein habiyos v'neis is not really a deraisa de kisvara. There's really no source of that minatora. Minatora, either it's a zman groma, it's not a zman groma. The only clause that would nimsa to us, we see that the only rule that really govern mitzvah deraisa, whether women are obligated or not, is the clause of is it a zman groma, is it a zman groma. The fact that it happens to be that this mitzvah speaks about a miracle, it's commemorating a miracle that women were shaykh to. That's very nice, but that's not a mechayev derais. That's not a svar to be mechayev in the derais. And therefore, Chazal did not want to use that as a reason to obligate them in matzah. That would have done the trick. Therefore, we have to find a source for derais. We have to find a pasuk, a real din in the Torah, to obligate women in matzah. But the reason of afei and avias is only a svar of mitzvah rabbanon. That's the first answer that Tosfos gives, and that's the answer that Tosfos actually gives in other places as well. But then Tosfos in Megillah offers a second derais in the name of Rabbeinu Yosef. Tosfos refers to Rabbeinu Yosef as Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim. One of the Balei Tosfos moved to Eretz Yisrael. A few of the Balei Tosfos over the years moved to Eretz Yisrael. One of them, his name was Rabbeinu Yosef. So in one place, Tosfos calls him Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim. And another place, Tosfos calls him Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Eretz Yisrael. And in another place, he calls him Rabbeinu Yosef Shalach LeEretz HaTzvi. Eretz HaTzvi was a code phrase for Eretz Yisrael. It's the same person. So one Rabbeinu Yosef, one Eretz Yisrael, one Yerushalayim, one Eretz Yisrael, same place. It's in different places. They gave him different nicknames. So this Rabbeinu Yosef is quoted by Tosfos as saying, no, that Afein Habios it really works with Deraisa. It really is a good svar Deraisa. So why wasn't it invoked by Chazal to obligate women in Matzah? So Rabbeinu Yosef gives you a whole drasha. Because I would have thought that Matzah is compared to Sukkah, and women are exempt from Sukkah. The women should be exempt from Matzah. Even though Afein, oh, Chagadja, Kamash Malan Apostle. I mean, basically, what Rabbeinu Yosef is saying is that Afein Habios HaNeis is a din deraisa. It really is a good svar. It is a compelling svar mid deraisa. The only thing is, it would have fallen a little bit short vis-a-vis Matzah, Therefore, Chazal had to bend over backwards to find, to discover, to do the Chadish Apostle, to the Chayiv women. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, according to the video Yosef, Ab Hein Hoib Yosef, is a Svar Mederaita. So you have an interesting machloikis here, the first view of Taisus that says Ab Hein Hoib Yosef does not work Minatara, whereas the second day in Taisus, Ben Yosef says, oh, it really does, and it really could have, it really should have. And the only reason why it fell short was because of really pure technical ground, but Ikaron really is a Deraita. What would the source for this deraisa be? According to the Yosef, what's our deraisa? Where does it say this idea in the Chumash? So maybe the source of this idea is that all mitzvahs that are done in celebration of Nisim ultimately have their roots back to Az Yashem Moshe. How do you know that you have to light this Hanukkah? How do you have to read the Megillah? How do you know that we're supposed to do things to commemorate Nisim? The Gemara Megillah, the Yedalah, tells us that's all derived from Az Yashem Moshe. The Torah goes out of its way to give us Kepapash the Mishalach, describes the Jewish people's response to Nisim. So the response to a Nase is not just a theoretical historical response, it's a halachic response. You're not allowed to let a Nase go by and do nothing. Those are learning Daf Yomi. The whole daf today about a person sees a Nase, they have to say Brachah Asa Nase Machom Hazeh. We're learning Daf from Sukkim that Yisro made Brachas. So that idea of celebrating, commemorating, and praising the Rebbeinu Shel for Nisim is a real Svar Mideraita. So in the parasha of Kriyas Yamsuf, the parasha of Az Yashem Moshe, the Torah goes out of its way to highlight that the women also sang Shira. Why does the Torah tell us that? So it could be that maybe what the point of that those psukim is to teach us that it's a din that women have to sing Shira. It's not just Stam Rishus. It's not just Stam historically. Miriam got the group together. They started with the tambourines and dancing around. It was the Havacha. That when you're talking about the Mishabech, the Boshal Fenisim, there is no difference between men and women. Therefore, whenever you have a mitzvah that's a Zeich L'Deit, you have a mitzvah that's supposed to commemorate a day, there's no distinction whatsoever between men and women. So maybe that's the source in the Chumash itself, in the Torah of the South, for this idea according to many others. And again, the first day in Taisa says, that Afein Ha'ibi also innate doesn't work with a Torah, never worked with a Torah, it's only a Din Midrabanon. But the second day in Taisa says it is a Din Derei. So how does this impact us, this Machlokes? So this may impact us the following way. There is a fundamental Lomdish question as to what the Mechayev of Kriyas HaMegillah is. We have to read the Megillah on Purim. It says in the Megillah, Vayom El Nisgar Menasim. So Nisgar means the Lashon Zechira. Zechira means you have to read it, you have to discuss it, you have to read it, Tachiksav. The Gemara learns out from all the Psukim in the Megillah that there's a din, a real din, the Deiris, that everybody has to read the Megillah on Purim. Vayom El Nisgar Menasim. What tokef, what strength does this mitzvah have? Is this just a mitzvah mit the Rabbanon? The Chachamim should also adore, instituted, that you have to read the Megillah. That's what the Gemara describes in the Masechet Megillah, that Esther sent a message to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. She wanted the Chachamim should also adore to institute Kriyas HaMegillah with Purim, with all the mitzvahs of Yom, and Chazal will misakhe that. That's what it says in the Megillah. Kayim Aleim Yos Osim Eshidei Yom Ve'ila Vayom Eim Nizkor V'Nasim Echoldo V'Do. The Pesukim from the very end of the Megillah describe how it was brought up to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim Kayim Aleim Kayim Eshimei Purim Eshimei. That means a Lashon Kiyum, that means it made it takon, it became a formal mitzvah mitzvah. So the simple shot is that Purim is mamash a regular mitzvah mitzvah. No different fundamentally than Neres Hanukkah, no different than Neres Shabbos, no different than Tzitzit Yadayim, no different than any other mitzvah mitzvah. However, not so simple. Because Purim has something that other mitzvah mitzvah don't have, most don't have, is that it appears in Tanakh. It appears in Kisri HaKodesh. Now, true, Megillas Esther is not quite on par with Chumash, not Vedav Hashem Moshe Leim during the Chumash, but it does appear in Megillas Esther, it does appear in Kisvei Kodesh, and Megillas Esther is Ruach HaKadosh Nemra. So in a certain sense, it's the Dvar Hashem. Again, it's not the Dvar Hashem in the sense of Chamisha Chumash HaTayr, it's not Bereshis Bar Elokim, but it is considered to be the Dvar Hashem in a little bit of a lesser degree, Dech Nevuah, Dech HaKadosh, whatever the Dargahs of the Dvar Hashem of the Nevi'im HaKadosh is all about. So there are some poskim who raise the question that maybe Kriyas HaMegillah is not just a mitzvah derabbanan. Maybe Kriyas HaMegillah is a real mitzvah, quote-unquote, midaraisa. I don't mean midaraisa, literally one of the 613 mitzvahs, but I mean it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu being the mitzvah. Maybe it's Chanukah, it's the Chachamim being the mitzvah. We have to listen to the Chacham say because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to listen to the Rabbanim. But when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, it's almost like the Rebbe Shalom being mitzvah directly, because it does appear in his book, it appears in Ruach HaKadosh, it appears in Kisri HaKadosh. So this is a nuanced question, what our take is on the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah, basically a Plato mitzvah derabbanan, on par with Deres Chanukah, or maybe Kriyas HaMegillah is elevated to almost like a deraisa. If you take that approach, that it's elevated to a deraisa, then for who is it elevated to a deraisa for? For men, but not for women. because a man's chiyuv in the Megillah is the real chiyuv. Ayom el nizkovet after speaks to men. Why do women have to read the Megillah? It should be a zman groma. It should be pteros. So the answer is because afein ha'ibi also aneis. Afein ha'ibi also aneis is only a mechayev midrabanan. According to most opinions in Tosfos, the obligation of lighting Neres Chanukah for a woman is a derabanan. The obligation of dalak kaisus is a derabanan. But that doesn't bother us because the obligation for men is also derabanan in those things. But kriyas and Megillah is where men and women part ways because men have a higher level of chiyuv than women. Because men are obligated, because that's what states in the Megillah, but Yom El is going to ask them. That pasuk, that Mechayev, Chris and Megillah, is really only talking to the men, because it's the Zman Grama. Elohat, the Halacha says, by the way, tangentially, women also have to hear the Megillah. It's true. And we're not minimizing it. They come and make a bracha. We're not minimizing a woman's obligation, but their eyes, it's not. Different Kabbalah, it's not. Based on the Pesukim and Kishra Kedush, it's not. It's a Din Derabbanan. It was instituted because of the concern of Afein Habios and Eid. If that's the case, then Kriyas HaMegillah is a classic example of a mitzvah that I have a chiyuv d'oraisa, quote unquote, and my wife has a chiyuv d'rabbanan. And the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Chof, but that's not going to work. That if one person is obligated with d'rabbanan, the other is obligated with d'oraisa, the d'rabbanan cannot be most of the d'oraisa. The Gemara says this in back in the third pack of Brachas, in the context of Brachas HaMazel. The Gemara is not so sure whether women have to bench men at Torah with d'rabbanan. We know women have to bench. That's not a shayla. It's the Mishnah. But there are some reasons that maybe a woman's chiyuv and birchas hamazon may be derabanan. Again, the chalukas are showing what the reasons are, but it's not necessary right now. But it's possible that a woman's obligation to bench is under midrabanan. The Gemara says, if that's true, we're not sure it's true, but if it's true, then a woman can't be motzi a man in benching. Because there's no way a derabanan can be motzi a deraisa in a mitzvah. So the Shagiz Aryeh, this Perish and Masechet Megillah, the Sefer Tereyevin, so he picks up on this idea, and he says, maybe that's why women should not read the Megillah for men. Because a man's chiyuv is a higher level chiyuv, and the woman's chiyuv is a lower level chiyuv, even though they're both chayavim. But the same way the Gemara Bracha says, you can have two people chayav in a mitzvah, but one's derais and one's derabanan, the derabanan can't be mostly derais. So that's one approach, one deer that appears in the Sefer Tereyevin written by the Shogis Aryeh. There is another approach, another way to explain why maybe a woman can't be votes a man in Kriyas Megillah based on a different factor entirely. Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Dafidal raises the question that when great nisim happen, so isn't our response supposed to be hallel? So we talk, do say hallel. In Chanukah we say hallel. Pesach we say hallel. How come we don't say hallel in Purim? That's the Gemara Shalom. What happened to the hallel in Purim? The Gemara gives three reasons why we don't say Hallel in Purim. Everyone agrees, you know? Question is, why not? So one reason is that the Nes wasn't complete because the opening words of Hallel are Hallelujah Avdei Hashem. That's the time it is to try. We were able to say without any limitation, we are now Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not Avdei Par anymore, we're Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't say that with a straight face after Purim because Akati Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're still servants of Achashverosh. Before the story happened, we were servants of Achashverosh, and after the story, we were servants of Achashverosh. So the Nes was not complete. It was to some degree, but it was a great Yeshua, but it wasn't complete. And since we can't say Hallelu Avdei Hashem with a straight face, therefore we do not say Hallel on Purim. That's one reason the Gemara says. That's probably part of the reason why the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam gives you a little bit of a background as to what the Nes of Chanukah is all about. The Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah goes out of his way to dedicate the first halacha to tell you what happened. What are we doing here? Why are we lighting Neres Chanukah? The Rambam does not do the same thing in Hilchos Purim for a very, very simple reason. Because in Hilchos Megillah, there's no need for the Rambam to tell you why we're celebrating Purim. Open up Tanakh and you read it. Open up the Megillah, you read it. Whereas in Hilchos Chanukah, so the only source that we have is the Tosha Bez, the Gemara. So the Rambam writes, it is like Dhamma Tibishatari, he's trying to write a sefer in such a way that if a person doesn't have the Gemara, all he has is a Tanakh, and he can find everything he needs in Mishnah Torah. That was the goal of the Rambam. Whether he succeeded or not, it's another story. But the Rambam writes that his goal was that any Jew in any place, anywhere in the world, can just open up Mishnah Torah and know exactly what to do in every single circumstance. As long as he has the Chumash, he has the Tanakh, and he has this, he's got all Kol Tarkua under his belt. So therefore, the Rambam was forced, when he opens up for Chanukah, he's got to tell you what's going on, because otherwise, if I have a Chumash, I have a Tanakh, and I have a Rambam, and he left out the first Halach, I know why in the world am I lying there at Chanukah for? I'm scratching my head, what am I doing this for? So the Rambam was compelled to tell you why we're lying there at Chanukah. Uchas Megillah, the Rambam doesn't have to tell you there was the Queen Esther, and there was the Mordechai, there was the Hamad HaChashverosh. Open up the Tanakh, and you'll read the story yourself. You'll figure out why in the world we're celebrating for it. But in the beginning of Chanukah, the Rambam did go out of his way to tell you all the parts that are critical for the Nes of Chanukah, to celebrate Chanukah. So the Rambam highlights two things. And Ram talks about the nature of the Muhammad, talks about all the Xeris and the Muhammad, etc. And then he speaks about the nature of the Pachashemen, so that explains the whole background. And then the Rambam throws in something like a curveball into the story. The Rambam writes, and Chazma Malchus Yisrael, Karav Masayim Shana, that the monarchy, that the Jewish government came back to life. And until that point, the Jews were under, so they were under the Persians, then they were under the Greeks, and then later they were under the Romans, but there was a small window of almost 200 years where Chazra Malchus Yisrael, where the Malchus came back to Klal Yisrael, and that was a great source of celebration. We don't usually associate that with the Nes of Hanukkah. Usually, we think of the Nes of Hanukkah, they won the war, and the Xeris were over, and they had a Nes of Baruch Hashem, and called it a day. The fact that Chazam Malchus Yisrael, it's nice, but why is that so important? Well, the Rambam is being madgish. He's trying to emphasize the point that if not for that, then we couldn't have said Halu on Hanukkah. Because how can you say Halu Avdi Hashem if you're still working under the Greeks? So let's say they would have had a truce with the Greeks, and they would have said, the Greeks would say, hey, you know what, we're going to rescind all the Xeris, and we're going to let you go back to the Beis HaMikdash, and it would have been an unbelievable Nes, and a Pach Hashem and everything, but you're still under our control. The Rambam says we would not have Hanukkah. Maybe we'd light the menorah, but we would not say Hallel. We wouldn't have the Hanukkah that we know of, because how can you say Hallel if you're still Avdei of the Greeks? That's what the Rambam had to highlight. The historical reality was that we're talking not Avadim to the Greeks, that we're talking free, and therefore we could say Hallel. So that's one reason why we don't say Hallel on Torah, because we didn't complete the Yeshua. Then the Gemara gives another reason. The Gemara says that we don't say Hallel on Purim because the Nes didn't occur in Eretz Yisrael. The Nes that doesn't happen in Eretz Yisrael is not a complete Nes. It's just the triumph happened outside of Eretz Yisrael, but the Jews had not yet entered into Eretz Yisrael. So once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, Nisim that occur outside the Chutzlars do not count as complete the Nisim. And the third reason the Gemara says is that we do say Hallel on Purim. When do we say Hallel on Purim? The Megillah. The Megillah is a different text of Hallel. Hallel doesn't have to be the words of Tehillim, Perek, such and such. I'm praising the Rabban Shalom. Like, if you read the whole story, that's the Kabbalah Yeshevach Lodah to the Rabban Shalom. So that counts as a Hallel as well. Those are the three different answers the Gemara says. So according to the first two answers, there was no Chiyah because there was something deficient in the name, either because we're still slaves to Achashverosh, or because it happened in Chutzlaret. And according to the third answer, there's nothing deficient in the name. It's just there's a different vehicle of reciting Hallel. My Nafkamina. So Chapa Nafkamina as follows. Let's say a guy's in a desert island. He doesn't have a Megillah. And he say Hallel not. Some Achorim say, yeah, you have to say Hallel. Why? If you hold it the first two reasons, then they were not misakin Hallel. There is no Hallel for Purim. Purim is not a kind of an ace that warrants Hallel. It falls short for one of two reasons. But according to the third approach, Purim doesn't fall short. Purim is a Mechayiv Hallel. It's just that the vehicle of Hallel is the Megillah. If you don't have that vehicle, so do the regular Hallel. So say the regular Hallel, like Hanukkah. So some Achorim mamish hold that if whatever a guy's stuck in a hospital room, he doesn't have a cloth, doesn't have a Megillah, nothing. That's the Hallel of the Bracha. It's a Chiddush Gavul. Most people don't do that, but there is such a sheet out there in Tosfos. So come a group of Echoreidim and say, according to that third answer, when we read the Megillah, we are really saying Hallel. It's a different word, it's a different text of Hallel, but it's basically Hallel. There's a general rule that women are not obligated in Hallel. Even Hallel of Chanukah, women are not obligated in. That's a Klal Gadol. The only Hallel that women are chayavos in is the Hallel of Leil HaSeder, and that's for a totally different reason. But basically, the regular Hallel of the rest of the year, women are not chayavosim. A lot of women don't know this until Leil HaSeder. A lot of women know they're very, the Hallel time, they're ready cleaning up, they're tired, they're falling asleep, you know, different things, putting the kids to sleep. So a lot of things that they don't realize, they're mamish chayavos. The Hallel they're going to say tomorrow morning in shul, that's mishkefel. The Hallel they say every day, Chanukah, that's nice, they can volunteer, it's a nice thing, but they're not chayavos. The only Hallel the whole year the chayavos in is the Hallel to Leil HaSeder. A lot of people don't realize that the Hallel to Leil HaSeder is mamish a din. It's not like singing Echad Miyadei, it's a real din gavur. Sometimes there's a shav deraisa, and you have to say every single word. If you miss a word, but how does it? It's like missing a word in the Megillah. Your mom said you have to even be together. So people are like, some of the people getting, kind of got, skim over the end of the holiday. No, you have to want to skip every other word. That's okay. I remember when I was a little boy, my grandmother, she grew up in Eastern Europe, so it was a different kind of mentality. She would sit by the seder for the wee hours of the night, and it was hard for her. She didn't read as fast as we did, Lashna Kodesh. So she would, I would hear her till we had already finished the seder, she would still be sitting. She thought, she had the mind to every single word that God you have to say. It's like missing a kishef. Every word of Chagad is active. Every word of Kriyas Hallel is active. So back to that story. So some of them want to say that that's the reason why women can't be mostly men in Kriyas HaMegillah. Because Kriyas HaMegillah has a Hallel bigger component to it. For Hallel, women are not chayavosin. So when a woman reads the Megillah for a man, so she's moti him in Kriyas HaMegillah, but he blew the Kiyam of Hallel. And that Kiyum Hal that he has that she doesn't have, she cannot be Motziyim because vis-a-vis the Hal Shabbat, she's not going to do it. That's another approach at some point. Then there's a third approach that some Acharonim say, that the reason why a woman can't be multi a man is because there's another component in the Megillah. This appears in the Sefer Macheshes. Macheshes was a dying Vilna at the same time for Chaim Moshe. After Chaim Moshe was Nifta, so he, Moshe did the very beginning of the war, so the Macheshes took over, and then Nebuchadnezzar Macheshes eventually died, like Kiddush Hashem. So in his Sefer, he suggests that maybe the reason why women can't be multi men in Kriyas HaMegillah is because of a whole other aspect that men have in Kriyas HaMegillah that women don't have. We, of course, know that we read Parsha Zohar right before Purim, but even though we read Parsha Zohar from the Sefer Torah, the whole story originally the Kriyas HaMalek, but clearly in Kriyas HaMegillah there's also a Zeichet to Parsha Zohar. The fact that Haman is a descendant of HaMalek, so that's also a Kiyum, that's an extension of the mitzvah of the Kriyas HaMalek. So there's a big machlokes in the Peskim where the women are obligated in the midst of the Kriyas HaMalek. So the Sefer Chinuch writes that he thinks that women are pturus legamri. Women are not obligated in the Kriyas HaMalek. And the Sefer Chinuch writes because the midst of the Kriyas HaMalek is part of Mocheves HaMalek. The women are pturus from Muhammad and allowed with us Muhammad inu. So since women don't have to wage war, that's not their obligation. It's the men's job to wage the war. So the women are not obligated in Muhammad. Therefore, the male, they're not chayavos in the Kriyas HaMalek either. And the Mechaschinich says he doesn't know how to say Mechaschinich. Like, who told the Mechaschinich that's true? Mechatei said that the two mitzvahs are totally zeh to zeh. There could be women of Turus from Mechias HaMalek, but there's still Chayavos in the mitzvah of the Chayavos HaMalek. So it's unclear in Polish what the din is. This has become a very, very common issue in America. This did not exist in Europe. I was not in Europe, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe that any of our grandmothers and great-grandmothers have used to come out running the shul for Parsha Zohar if the davening was over. This idea of making a second laning for Parsha Zohar is a relatively new thing in Klai. So I think it was always assumed in Europe that whichever women came to davening, came to davening, whichever women take care of the kids, they came to davening. But they didn't have Parsha Zohar. They were relying on the Sefer Chinuch, the women of Turus. So in America, this became a very popular thing that some Polskim are Choshes, Ramayish was Choshes, others were Choshes, and maybe women are Chayavos. In Parsha Zohar, that's why the different shuls have different minhagim. I know here the minhag is not that way, but in many shuls, so they have additional readings of Parsha Zohar, multiple readings after davening, before mincha, after that, 15 times everyone's waiting. If you start to multiply the amount of times that you lay in Parsha Zohar, and then if you start to be machmir to lay in a different havarot with the zeches and zeches, you get Parsha Zohar 400 times in the course of a shas. Remember when I was in Kiryat Avna, they used to have the minhag. A lot of yeshivas there still have this minhag. There are so many different boys from so many different backgrounds, so they would lay in Parsha Zohar like 7-8 times. First they would lay in it, you know, the Israeli style, the real Ashkenazis, then they would have the Tamani would lay in it, then the Moroccan would lay in it, and the Iraqi would lay in it, the Tunisian, every single Smardi, Havara, they would lay in Nachmol, 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 Nachmol. So most of the posters thought that that's not necessary. The Moshe writes, I think Lechal necessary. Moshe Sturmach writes, he thinks it's a newfangled minig that started. There's no mocha for this minig whatsoever. But it's a common minig in some places. In many places, I still have a lot of people in the same community, so they do this. The first time we ever did it in our shul, it wasn't my idea. Last year, Pasha Zohar, we had a simcha in the community that some of the family members were Tamanim. So they asked me after davening, would I mind if they took out the Sefer Torah after davening, and we're laying anyway second time for the women, would I mind if they laying the third time in the Temani and Nusach? I said, give them day, do whatever you want. So, but I was shocked because not only did they lay in the Temani, they had the Metargim also. The Temani, when they lay, they still read the Targum. It means the Balkar reads the Pasuk, and the guy standing next to them reads the Targum Uklus. That's what they did. That's what Targum Uklus was written. That's what they used to do in the old days. That's the Matar game. Everyone did it that way. All the other communities stopped doing that because no one understands the Aramaic. So what are you wasting your time reading the Aramaic for? So we've stopped that mimic for the last 1,000 years. But in Tehran, they still did it. I guess they understood the Aramaic. So that's exactly what happened in Ashur. So you had one guy get up and said, and the next guy, the guy standing next to him, read out of the Chumash. Yeah, then we're posting in Aramaic and invite. It's a very fascinating Kriyas HaTorah back for 2,000 years ago. Anyway, so I didn't want to be worried about that. I did not. I could have. If I wanted to be a real, you know, stickler for details, I could have been worried about that, but I didn't want to ruin their party. So back to the story. So it could be that if women are pturus from Parshas Zohar, so when a woman reads the Megillah, she's reading the Megillah, all right, but she's not really fulfilling the key of the Chiras HaMolek. As a man, he's still trying to chop around that added dimension, the added component of the Chiras HaMolek. So these are some of the reasons that appear in the Chiras. The Rishonim don't really say this. The Rishonim give other reasons why maybe women can't be mostly men. In the Mishnah Halacha, we for sure pass that women can't be mostly men. That's how we follow Halacha, that view. So we would never, ever sanction a woman reading the Megillah for a man. But exactly why it's true, so it's a little bit unclear. So according to these whole different ideas of Achronim, it's based on this notion that there's something lacking, perhaps, in the career of the woman, whether it's lacking that's not quite a deraisa like a man, or it's lacking that's not quite have the howl of the man, or it doesn't have the chus hamach, it's missing some component that the man's career has. Based on these reasons, one could then readdress the question, is this true for both careers, both at night and by daytime? This is a big, big machlokes in the Rishonim about what the relationship between the Kriya at night and the Kriya in the day is. The Gemara says really you have to learn both, and it's not clear whether they're on equal footing or not. The Rambam seems to equate the two, but Tosfos clearly doesn't. Tosfos tries to begin with the Megillah that the Ikar Kriya is really the daytime. The first Kriya, the Kriya at night, is not the Ikar Kriya. What does that mean? Well, the Yehuda and the Shagasai both explain what Tosfos is driving at is that the Rabbanon you have to learn at night. But the Kriya Tam Megillah of the daytime, that's what it says in the Megillah. Yom El is going to be an after, it means Beyoim. But the Ika Takona of the days of Mordechai Yester was to lay in the Megillah Dafka Beyoim. Yom El, that's what it says in the Megillah. Yom El. Then the Rabbanon says, I'll enter to the added on for whatever reason, you should lay in the Megillah at night also. So we make a bracha, it's a mitzvah Rabbanon, but it could be that it doesn't have all the tokef of the Kriya by day. That's why Tosfos writes, that's why you should say Shechiyonah by day, even though you said it the night before, because it's a new mitzvah, it's a different mitzvah legami. So one could argue that if it's really true that the Kriya at night doesn't have all the chumras of the Kriya of the daytime, then maybe some of these things don't apply either. I mean, maybe a woman in theory could be moti a man by night, but not by day. Maybe by night they're both their abundance. Or maybe a woman could be moti a man at night because a night doesn't have halal to it. Maybe a night doesn't have the chivas amolikin. It's hard to know. So if one's going down any one of these routes, that the reason why a woman can't be mostly a man is because of these quirks, these added components that men have and women don't have, so then you would have to reevaluate whether all of these concerns really play out in terms of the night or not. Again, this part is lomdus not lemais. Lomdus lemais is nimnu v'gomer already. The minhag Yisrael is that women are not mostly men in Kriyas Megillah. The minhag Yisrael is women are not mostly women in Kriyas Megillah. That was the age-old practice also. There's no reason to tamper with that practice. But in terms of just the pure, from the lomdus point of view, whether it's really true that a woman can't be mostly a man, so it's not so posh. In the Gemara itself, it seems to be that it should work, and then the lady, Rishon Lechonim, have all different theorem as to why not. And each one has a little bit of a different twist as to what possible nuances in Kiyumim that men may have that women may not have in terms of Christmas.
That there's a
Shvei Dinim of Kriya and Shmiya. Yeah, that appears in the Shani, that idea. It's hard to exactly understand what that means, but that's how the Kriya and Shani is. I just left that part out. I try to focus on